Now, today, Secretary of State Colin Powell laid out a timetable of sorts for moving toward war. On March 7th, United Nations weapons inspectors give another report to the UN Security Council. Within a few days after that, Powell says the U.S. may press for a vote on a new resolution clearing the way for military action. It would declare that Iraq violated UN Resolution 1441, the last demand that it disarm.
It is time to take action. The evidence has been clear. They are guilty. 1441 says they are guilty. And 1441 said if they don't fix this, if they don't comply now, if they don't cooperate now, then serious consequences must flow.
Powell spoke to reporters during a trip to Japan and China. China is one of the majority of Security Council members that have so far demanded more time for weapons inspections. The United States is trying to show that it's ready for what comes after Saddam Hussein. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz spoke today to Iraqi Americans in Michigan, and he tried to reassure them about U.S. intentions.
This is really the overarching principle. The United States seeks to liberate Iraq, not to occupy Iraq.
By whatever name, rebuilding Iraq would not be easy. For the past 2 days, officials from about a dozen U.S. agencies discussed that problem here in Washington. A Pentagon office is making plans for Iraq's future, as NPR's Jackie Northam reports.
The Office of Reconstruction and Humanitarian Assistance has held off planning how to rebuild a post-war Iraq for months so as not to send a message that war was inevitable. But now, as war appears likely, the office is quickly trying to organize a strategy. Douglas Feith, the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy and a member of the Post-War Planning Office, says parts of the plan are well developed. Others are more general because, Feith says, there are still too many variables.
Would the war, if there is a war, be of short duration or of long duration? Would there be great devastation or not? Would Saddam blow up his own oil fields or not? Those are all the kinds of uncertainties that one deals with.
But Feith says some things in the plan are certain. He says the first steps include getting rid of weapons of mass destruction, providing humanitarian relief and security. After that, Feith says, would be establishing a civilian government.
We have been talking with various Iraqi exile groups for a long time now. The hope would be that the administration of the country could be transferred as quickly as possible into the hands of the Iraqis if they're organized and ready to fulfill the responsibilities to their own people. And until they are, they could get help from the coalition and the international community.
Feith says many countries have shown a strong interest in being part of the post-war relief and reconstruction operation. And an international coalition is seen as integral to the success of the post-war strategy, in part because it would bring in money and personnel to implement the plans. But a coalition would also help Washington if the Iraqis can't form a new government right away, says David Kay, a senior fellow at the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies.
After you get past the first 60 days of honeymoon of getting rid of Saddam, if it turns out that it looks like the U.S. is ruling or attempting to rule Baghdad, the outcome is going to be terrible. So you need others to provide the convincing political argument that this is not a conquest, it's a liberation, and our role is to help establish a representative government along with others and then get out of Dodge.
Kay says the post-war planning office is riddled with problems. He says he's concerned that the new office is being run out of the Pentagon and that promoting democracy within Iraq isn't high up on its list of priorities. And Kay says there's other problems.
I think we're horribly understaffed with people who actually have experience in the Arab world and particularly in Iraq and really understand at their fingertips. We certainly need more of those, and that's going to hinder us as we move ahead.
Kay says funding the post-war reconstruction operation may also be a problem, and he doubts if there are enough resources to implement the initial relief side of the operation. Iraq can't offer much help. Its economy has been devastated by more than 2 decades of war and sanctions. The only viable source of income is its oil reserves. But Iraq's oil industry has suffered from a lack of spare parts and poor management for many years, says Raad Al-Qadiri, a consultant with PFC Energy.
They've effectively operated an industry on the basis that's been held together by chewing gum and string. And moving forward, the amount of investment that's going to be looked at just to stabilize the industry and to stabilize production is immense. But you're talking somewhere between $5 and $10 billion just to keep the industry going, never mind getting more oil out the ground.
And there's concern Saddam Hussein might destroy Iraq's oil fields in a last act of desperation. That's just one more factor the new post-war planning office has to take into account as it draws up its strategy. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Washington.